Good to see some family and friends of the couple young men, both young to me at least, men who are getting baptized tonight. So we have a five-year-old who's going to get baptized. And Ian, how old are you, Ian?
24.
24, so it's way younger than me. That's awesome. Baptism is ideally a thing that is done once in your life. The Lord gave two different ordinances. One is baptism, the other is communion. And at least our church gets to have communion on a weekly basis. And we actually encourage people to not take communion unless they have been baptized. So baptism is the initial ordinance. It is the one commanded by the Lord for his disciples in a public way that they would then be identifying themselves with Jesus. So it is both a profession of faith verbally. So I'm going to ask both of the young men some questions, and they're going to say that they believe in Jesus. And at the same time, this is a physical act of obedience that is itself a profession of faith. One of the things in Romans chapter 6, when Paul is actually asking about how we cannot sin, he actually uses the illustration of baptism. Don't you know that we who have been baptized into the death of Jesus have also been raised to walk in newness of life with Jesus? So it's actually a part of our sanctification as we think back about what this reality, the realities behind what this water symbolizes. So both of these young men are eager to let you know that they actually want to be identified with Jesus. And so again, I'm going to ask them some questions and we'll get them baptized. All right. The key is being able to see over it and don't even need me to do any holding. That's awesome. Okay, this is Joey Bone. Joey has been pestering his parents for quite some time. When can I get baptized? So I've got some questions for him. Joey, why do you want to get baptized?
Because I love my parents and I love God.
Okay. Good. And I mean, God says to love your parents, right? So that's important. So you love your parents and you love God. You want to get baptized. So baptism is a thing that Christians do. And it's actually part of our profession of faith as Christians. And as Christians, one of the people that we talk about is Jesus. Stand all the way up. There you go. I'll get you all wet in just a little bit. So we talk about Jesus. So what is so important about what Jesus did? What did Jesus come and do?
Down the cross.
He died on the cross, right. And why did he die?
For sinning.
For whose sin? Did he ever sin?
Yes.
No, he yeah. Never sinned. Who sinned?
Jesus. No, God. No, Jesus.
No, we sin, right?
Yeah.
So, Jesus actually never sinned, but he came and died for sinners. So, what does it mean to sin?
Die.
No, what's like another word for sin? Or can you think of an example? When God says that we sin, what does that mean? What's another word for that? Like disobedience? Yeah. So have you ever disobeyed? Yeah. You can answer. They can see your head shaking, but you can answer too. So you have disobeyed?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And what does God say that people who disobey deserve?
Death.
They deserve death when they disobey. Right. Which is what makes it so important that Jesus came and died. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is Jesus still dead?
No.
No, what happened to Jesus?
Rose back up again.
He rose back up again. We're almost ready to come to Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday and remember that. In fact, that's what this baptism pictures, is when you go down into the water, it's like you're being buried with Jesus, and then you come back up, and just like Jesus came back out of the grave, you are coming back up to walk in with new life in Jesus as well. So you want all of these people to know that you believe in Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. So I was asking him earlier, because Joey's going to start kindergarten next year, and I was asking him before the service, I said, if Mrs. Hall is here watching to get baptized, I see her. Kindergarten teacher is here. She's going to know that when you're in class and maybe you don't feel like obeying that day, she might say to you, Joey, I know that you're a Christian because you profess faith and I saw you get baptized. So baptized Christians, they need to obey. You're good with that? Yeah. Your dad was down there. I said, tomorrow, if your dad tells you to do something, he's going to be able to say, well, Joey, you are a baptized Christian, so you should obey what Jesus said, which includes obeying your parents. So you're good with that? Yeah. All right. Well, Joey, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, this is Ian Fujinaka, and see some of your family here tonight, so that's awesome. Ian, you don't actually live in Washington State anymore because you are in the military, but this is actually as much of a home. I mean, obviously, this is where you grew up, and your family is here, and so even though you potentially could have chosen to get baptized at another church that you were going to be a part of where you're stationed, you wanted to get baptized here. So why would you like to get baptized tonight?
I was raised in a Christian home. I have known about Jesus for my entire life. And somehow during that time, I never really took responsibility to care and, you know, develop and grow in that way for like 20 years. Then I left home and I went to West Point, and part of that, I believe I came as close as I've ever been to not being a Christian. I was technically following the barest of minimums. I attended church and a Bible study, and I didn't put extra time. I didn't put any extra effort. It showed me how weak that part of my life was, how I wasn't basing it on my own faith at all, but just residual faith from my family and my friends at home. Luckily, I found a mentor and an amazing Christian found me literally from day two and helped guide me through it. Pretty much just discipled me and helped me through it. And as a result, I understand now that I would like to be baptized. I understand that it is not the reason I am saved, but I understand that it's a command that God commanded us to do it. And I would like to follow that commandment and everything else he has commanded us to do.
Okay. So, you know, this is an act of obedience, and like you said, it doesn't save you. So what do you, I mean, when we talk about being saved, what does that even mean? What are we saved from? Why do we need to be saved? How does that come about?
Because we are born sinful, and we are obsessed with ourselves. We're in a world that's poisoned, and Jesus is the way.
Okay. So Jesus in history, people talk about him as a good teacher. Is that all that he was?
Absolutely not.
So what is significant about who Jesus is?
Significant because he is God. He is God, and he forgave our sins to him as himself.
Okay. And what was it that enabled him to offer that forgiveness? So he was God in flesh, and then what did he do that enables him to forgive us?
By becoming man and dying for our sins and being risen again.
Yeah. So the wages of sin is death. I mean, that is what we deserve. So Jesus taking that on behalf of all those who would ever believe in him, he then bore the Father's wrath for us who believe, that then we could have eternal life. So, because you said he rose again, so he still is, I mean, he resurrected to new life, and so he promises to come back and get us at some point. He promises to return, so he wants us to live for him in the meantime. Since you have gotten more serious again in the last couple years, what kind of examples do you have about the seriousness or your life as a disciple? So do you have different desires? Are you doing some things different than maybe you had done before?
I am reading my Bible frequently. I've learned to pray properly or more, and as I'm guided to. I have been evaluating my thoughts and feelings. My eyes have been opened to a lot of, that's hard to say. My eyes haven't been opened, but I'm actually acknowledging the sins and the destructive behaviors I participated in, and now I'm responsible for, but I know, I've always known they were wrong, but I'm getting to fight through them.
Okay.
I'm getting helped to fight through them. I'm convicted that they're wrong, and I'm convicted to change.
Okay. So, I mean, one of the questions that we ask on our baptism form is, with your baptism, do you desire to be recognized as a member of this local body? And usually somebody who says no, I have a bunch of questions to. Because baptism is a way to become a member or to bring one's baptism with them into membership. So you did answer no, and the reason why he answered no is because this isn't where he's going to be living, but yet we want him to be able to take his baptism with him to whatever church he finds. So we, you know, your family being able to be here, and some of your friends who have known you, grown up with you for a long time, you want to be able to make that public profession to them, in front of them, and then take that baptism with you to whatever church it is that you actually then become a member, where you're stationed and where you have those opportunities in the future. That's right.
Yes, that is correct.
That correctly. So it's actually really exciting because we had talked about you being baptized off and on for a few years probably, and to actually be able to bring that to this point and to be able to celebrate that with you and honor the Lord's grace in your life, that's a privilege, and that's exciting. So Ian, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, baptism, so in Ian's case, he has professed to be a disciple for a while and is able to make that public profession through the waters of baptism tonight, obviously. Joey has been professing to believe in Jesus for a while as well. But this is, again, the beginning. This is not the end. And I think, actually, a lot of us have experiences where you worked so hard to get somebody converted. You worked so hard to get them to move to the point of baptism. And then, okay, well, we're done. But actually, baptism is the beginning of a disciple's life. So there's lots more to grow in. There's lots more to learn as we are disciples who learn to obey everything that Jesus commanded. So ideally, you are encouraged to remember your own baptism and the work of God's grace in your life, that you have made such a public profession, and then that you would, when you have opportunity to interact with Ian, or Joey is not heading away to the army anytime soon, so you'll have more opportunity probably with him. But as brothers in Christ, it's important to then give them encouragement. And when necessary, ask questions about a disobedience you see, but especially as we are all continuing to learn to obey better, pray for both Joey and Ian as they begin this walk of discipleship, however long it is until the Lord calls them home. Could be a really long time of fruitfulness here as representatives of Jesus, and may we all be doing that together. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the testimonies of Joey and Ian. Different stages of life, obviously. Different responsibilities in front of them even tonight and tomorrow on the upcoming weeks and years. We do ask that you would enable them to remember this evening, that they would remember their profession, that they would remember their baptism, that they would remember that they are identified with your Son in his death and resurrection, that they have new life and they are to walk in that new life. They're to reckon themselves as dead to sin because of the work of your Son. Give them strength. Give them joy as they learn to obey. May you continue to unite all of us together as your people, that we would be a church, a community of those who are eager to honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.